We're happy to offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. And some of you may be thinking, well, that's a little different. That song's not quite where we usually go on Sunday mornings. It was beautiful, wasn't it? The vision that we held in our minds as the music, the words took us there was truly humbling. We as a people, as humans, throughout time, have been curious beings. We also have been wonderful meaning makers. We make meaning. We assign meaning to our world. And we need to do that because we're literal thinkers. We have to get things in a certain order to make our lives simpler, for we're bombarded always by our senses. And so we name things. That's a palm tree. That's a chair. We name things so we have less to think about and can focus upon the new things that come into our world. And so it's not difficult to imagine what it must have been like for the early humans who have so much in their world that they cannot explain. There's the sun. The sun comes up every day. It's shining. Sometimes there's clouds that cover it. Sometimes there's rainstorms, thunderstorms. The thunder might crash into the earth and start fire. If the humans are living by the sea, there's the power of the sea, which might be gentler, it might be crashing. And so there's meaning that is assigned to those things that are greater than us, must be gods. They're so powerful. And then each night the moon chases the sun from the sky. Isn't that a wonderful way to think about it? The moon chases the sun from the sky, but the moon doesn't always look the same. Sometimes it's full and round, sometimes it's half or crescent. And sometimes you can see both the sun and the moon at the same time. And so stories would be created as to why this might be true. We have to make sense of our world. We are thinkers. We must do this. Now the story that we come up with may not be the same as the story that people 500 miles from us come up with. And then we come into conflict. That is a palm tree. No, it is not. I call it an XYZ. We come into conflict because we're very invested in what we have named things. Then there's at night all those stars that appear. Beautiful, beautiful stars that here in Key West we're able to see most of the time. Now, The Lion King is one of my favorite Disney movies, and some of you who've seen it may recall a scene where Simba, the lion prince, is with his friends, Timon, who's a meerkat, who's a little ornery and sassy, sarcastic, and then Pumbaa, the warthog, who's not very bright. And in this scene, they're laying on their backs, it's nighttime, and they're looking at the stars in the sky, and the story goes kind of like this. Pumbaa says, "What do you think those sparkling dots are up there?" And Timon says, "I know what they are. They're fireflies. They're fireflies that somehow got stuck in that bluish-black stuff up there." And Pumbaa says, "Gee, I always thought it was big balls of gas burning millions of miles away." And then they ask Simba what Simba thinks. And Simba doesn't really want to share because the story that he knows about the stars in the sky came from his father, and he's still grieving the loss of his father. And he said, "Well, someone once told me those are the great kings who have passed, who are watching over us." And Timon says, "You mean they're a bunch of royal dead guys watching us?" And then all three of them laugh. Well, we don't have to be Disney cartoon characters to assign meaning. We've done this throughout the history of humankind. Indigenous people everywhere assigned meaning to the forces of nature. We could call it the first religion, but for indigenous people, it wasn't really a religion. It wasn't separate and apart from what they did day to day in their lives. It was just part of the natural from day to sunset. And then as society developed, rituals, traditions developed. We had to find ways to make the gods happy. We needed to give them things so that they would favor us, for we needed balance in our lives. We needed children to be born healthy. If we were farmers, we needed the crops to grow. If we were fishermen, we needed fish to catch, or hunters, we needed animals to yield to us and give their lives to us, and so we might sacrifice to the god. Today, we are still awed by nature. A beautiful sunset touches our hearts. A song lifts our souls. A view of the mountains and we are overcome with a grandeur. A butterfly reminds us of the mystery and the magic. A beautiful, exquisite flower will open our hearts. And we're still amazed at childbirth, although we do know where babies come from now. It's still a grand, grand, beautiful part of nature. And so we are still awed by the ingenuity, the creativity of nature and of science. And we may think of it as the great web of life or the great perfection of all that is. We might think of it as the splendor of the divine. And the majority of religious people in the Western culture do believe in this God out there. That is the most comfortable and well-accepted belief. And there is some comfort in that, in a God out there that's always out there, because there's some distance also, not too close. Okay, God's out there. But it's a little like an absentee parent. They're there, but it's not intimate. It's not, we're not with them. And many of us may have grown up in a religion that was all about the God out there. And in our dissatisfaction, we continued to search. And that may have been how you found unity. It was how one of the ways I found unity. I wanted a more personal association with God, a more personal relationship with Spirit. Ken Wilber is one of the authors today that has made quite an influence on unity. I was first introduced to his work when I was in seminary and then reminded of it when I recently went to convention. He's written several books on human consciousness. This one is Integral Spirituality, A Startling New Role for Religion in the Modern and Postmodern World. He is a scholar, and much of this book is very, very intellectual. But one of the descriptors that he brought to us, that he gifted unity with, is this idea of the three faces of God. And as he looked at religions, he discovered that most religions choose one. And by faces of God, we're talking about how we hold God, how we talk about God, what our perspective is. Is it the first person perspective, the I am, the great I am within? The second person, the second face of God, you, personal? Or the third face of God, which is what we've been talking about, the great web of life, the infinite. He says most religions choose one, sometimes two, but rarely all three. And of course, what we choose, we think is right. And we reject all others because they're wrong. What Ken Wilber says is all three are correct and all are vitally, vitally important to our spirituality. To understand and to find a way to accept and embrace all three. Within unity, and I can say this because I'm very guilty of it myself, we tend to unitize everything. We find a song, we change the words so that it works for us. I do it. Tim and I will talk about songs. I find a prayer. I think, oh, I love this, but no, that can't be in there. We tend to be very exclusive in wanting to have our message be consistent. And our primary message is the God within all. And so we tend to reject everything else. We reject it, we dismiss it, we deny it, we resist it. Within unity, we know the law of mind action. That which we resist persists always. In researching what Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, had to say about God, I was a little surprised. This comes from Revealing Word, and he has pages and pages and pages of descriptors about God. The first one, God, the Almighty One, the Creator, the Ruler of the Universe, the Infinite, the Eternal. God is not person, but principle. That is the third face of God. He also says God is approachable, available to all who draw nigh unto Him. It's the second person of God. God is personal to us when we recognize God within us as our indwelling life, intelligence, love, and power, the first face of God. The foundations of unity teach all three. Although we tend to focus on the first person of God, the God within, all three apply. All three are available to us. As spiritual tools of way of understanding God, of holding God, of talking about and speaking to God. Jesus, our way shower, spoke in all three. He spoke about God, he spoke to God, and he spoke as God. And as we turn to Scripture, we look at the Hebrew Scripture, which is what Jesus would have been familiar with. And we look at Psalm, the 19th chapter, the first verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. And we need not go back to over 2,000 years. We have modern-day mystics who have shared the same with us. Ralph Waldo Emerson, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. Mahatma Gandhi, when I admire the wonders of a sunset or the beauty of the moon, my soul expands in the worship of the Creator. Blaise Pascal, 17th century, theologian, philosopher, said, what can be seen on earth points to neither the total absence nor the obvious presence of the divinity, but to the presence of a hidden God. Everything bears this mark. And that is an amazing statement from a pessimist, which he was known to be. And the last one from George Lucas of Star Wars. May the Force be with you. So we need not exclude, but to include, to expand, and to integrate this third face of God in our belief system, in our spirituality. It's a breath of fresh air that we do not need to reject, but to embrace but to embrace this perspective. The one word that truly describes the third face of God to me is reflection. As we sit and we reflect, the statement by Gandhi is that, when I admire the wonders of the sunset or the beauty of the moon, my soul expands in the worship of the Creator. Is that not what we all want? We have this desire for our soul to expand, for us to know God more, feel God more, be aware of the presence more. And we can do that through reflection, through reflecting about the divine. And it's not always through nature. There may be a painting that you see that you can reflect upon that painting, a song that you hear, music that is sung that you reflect upon, your soul opening to the worship of the divine. Ricky Byers Beckwith is one of our favorite artists from Agape. And she has a song that includes some of these lyrics. I used to think God was the sun. God is the sun, and God so much more than the earth and the stars and all of creation. God is creator, on and on. I used to think God was the sun. If we take those words, I used to worship, honor, acknowledge, bow down to, hold sacred the sun. God is the sun, and God so much more. We need not reject the honoring of the God we see everywhere. For God is everywhere. God is the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the waves, the wind, the music, the painting. We are not denying our faith. We are expanding our faith when we reflect upon the things that open our heart and our soul to the presence of God within. Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, lived and spoke and prayed that way, and so can we. We'll continue over the next few weeks to explore these three faces of God. And then on July 30th, we're going to do something very radical for a Unity Church. We're going to have a baptism. It's going to be an open call invitation. So place that on your heart. Take it to prayer. If you are moved on that Sunday to come forth for a baptism, for this symbolic outward act of honoring, acknowledging the God within and all around us, please do so. I'm excited about it. For we honor the three faces of God. This week, I invite you to allow reflection to be part of your spiritual practice, if it is not already, and perhaps it is an integral part of all that you do. And if it is, open your heart and your soul to embracing it in a greater way. And so it is. God bless you. This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the Donate Now button. And if you are ever in our area here in Key West, please drop in. God bless you on your journey.